Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again to another edition of the Elders Show.
We are the elders of the Hebrew Israelite nation. Hallelujah. And we are honored to be before our global listeners today. Hallelujah. I am Elder Uliah, and I have my brother, Elder Yael, with us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So tonight, Elder and I was discussing, you know, what is going to be the topic agenda tonight. Well, we just decided, ever the Ruach HaKodesh puts on our heart. That's pretty much where this show is going to go tonight. Hallelujah. So we trust and believe that the Most High will use us as instruments to get the message across that he wants to get to you all. Hallelujah. So we do have a scripture reading for tonight. And it just came up, and it's very timely, very relevant to what's going on today. That song was about Babylon, if you listen to the lyrics. And you, if you know anything about Babylon or Babylon's agenda, that's Babylon is this whole perverted, corrupt system. And, you know, I know a lot of Israelite brothers and sisters say, boy, that's the United States, the United States. Well, the system, the wicked system, it's anti, yeah, it's anti the Most High. So if your Ur says go right, Babylon wants you to go left. If your Ur says go forward, Babylon wants you to go in reverse. It wants to totally pervert the Most High's order of things. That's Babylon's agenda, to pervert the Most High's laws and order. How we are ordered to live and conduct ourselves. Babylon wants to pervert it. They want to twist and distort the moral order of the Most High. In a word,
that's right.
To pervert. So this scripture is very relevant. It's found in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. That's Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It reads as follows. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Doesn't that sound like perversion? Hallelujah. It says that put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And doesn't that sound like Babylon, to pervert the order of the Most High? The Most High says such and such a thing of conduct is evil. Babylon says it's good. Practical example. Yahuwah tells us that unlawful sex, in other words, sexual union outside of the covenant of marriage, is evil. Well, do you think Babylon agrees to that? Babylon calls it normal. It's normal. Even from the very young on up, it's normal to have a girlfriend. It's normal to have a boyfriend, a high school sweetheart. So what are you doing in high school engaging in activities that could bring a actual child, another life into the world? You're still a child yourself. You don't know how to take care of yourself, but you're engaging in irresponsible activity that could bring a child into this world, a child who deserves to be taken care of and nurtured and raised in safety and comfort, to be provided for financially and otherwise. You're still staying with your mom, your dad. And your partners is staying with their parents. And what money do you have to provide? You're probably struggling through high school. So how are you going to, you know, but that's what Babylon says. It's fine to have your childhood sweetheart. Of course they're going to engage in sex. So what do you think this is? Of course. So that's just a practical example. You know, adultery. You're in the confines of matrimony, but somebody else starts looking good to you outside of your spouse, case in an adultery. But what do? You don't flee. You pursue it. You know, what's the big deal with an extramarital affair? It happens every day. It happens in the workplace. It happens on the, you know, in our recreation time. It happens even in the church. Well, it happens a lot in the church, you know, this Babylonian church. So Babylon wants to twist and pervert the Most High's natural order of things. But that's not for the people of Yahuwah to follow. It says, learn not the ways of the heathen. That means don't ascribe to the way of the heathen. Don't ascribe to their philosophy, their culture, their norms. No. Mm. That's the pathway. That's the wide and broad pathway. And you know where the wide and broad pathway leads. It leads to hell. Mm-hmm. And Scripture says, there will be many, that means the majority, there will be many that go there, that go that way. Mm. We are to follow God's straight and narrow path. Unfortunately, it says there will be few. That's the opposite of many. There will be few that follow that. But that's the path that leads to life eternal. That's the path that leads to the kingdom. So that's why Scripture tells us, do not learn the way of the heathen. The way of the heathen is the broad and wide path that leads to hellfire. So I'm going to turn it over to my brother. A few things, you know, we're going to talk about tonight, among others. Like you say, we're just going to be, we're going to just let the Ruach have its way. But there are some things that did happen this week, some things that were global and are quite significant. One of them was the passing away. I don't know if we want to call it passing away, but I would describe it in other terms. But the death of the Tanzanian president, Magufuli. He was the president of Tanzania since 2015, I believe. He was a powerful man, a powerful leader. And this, more importantly, he was a leader that did not compromise, did not kowtow to the Western powers, to the colonial powers. Fortunately, like the rest of his brethren on the African continent, who looked like every time they just throw a dollar at them, they sell their people, they sell their resources down the drain. But this was a man that stood up. He believed in his people. And more importantly, he believed in the Most High. He even stood up to this coronavirus pandemic that's taking place right now. He stood up to the offspring of this coronavirus pandemic. He stood up to the vaccine, which is supposed to be the natural cure to this pandemic that's going on. So this strong man is no longer with us anymore, no longer with his brethren, no longer with his countrymen in Tanzania. And so that country needs prayer, because that was one of the last holdouts that stood against these Western powers. They wanted to come in and change their nation and have them to wear a mask and have them to, you know, shut down the economy like the other nations have done. And more importantly, they wanted them to get on board with this coronavirus vaccine campaign and vaccinate all of its people when the rate of infection was so low, it was minuscule. Matter of fact, pretty much entire Africa, the rate is minuscule, especially among the indigenous people. Now, you know, you've got invaders that came in there and settled in South Africa. So some parts of South Africa where they dwell, few numbers, but as far as indigenous people, Africa, the continent of Africa has the lowest rate. Matter of fact, it's below detection. It's below the point where you can even measure it. But yet they want to roll out this killer vax. So those are the kind of things we want to talk about. This was a strong leader, and the country of Tanzania and the whole land of Africa needs prayer. So we're going to I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to Elder, and we're going to come back and revisit some of these things. So, Elder, come on up. Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Elder. Hallelujah. You know, because we know the things that you're talking about that you mentioned before. Well, I tell you, there's a lot to be said because we see so much going on. We see so much. It's almost unreal. But we just have to be patient because we know that Yahuwah has it all under control. He has everything. You know, in other words, it does not matter what's going on, you know. They're not doing anything that's behind his back that he's not aware of what they are. You see? Because he tells
us,
my eyes up on them, you know. So it don't matter. You ain't getting away with nothing. Okay. Who do you think you are? Yeah. Because, I mean, people like Bill Gates, the Fauci guy, Fauci, however you pronounce his name, I always get that mixed up. But anyway, you know, these are people that, you know, every sin that they commit, it's going to come back on them. And it's going to come back on them as, like double fold, two fold or whatever, triple fold. They're going to get their just day. They're going to get their payback, you see? That's why what we got to do is make sure we understand. Look at God's word. Pray for understanding of his word, you know, because he tells us some things in his word that comforts us, that lets us know, you know, really how close time is, you know, how close, just how, especially the season. We may not know the day or time, but we can know the season, you see, and we can see what is developing in our face, you know, each day that, you know, time is drawing near. It is, you see. And so
hallelujah.
As long as we can understand, you know, that, and we can have a little bit of understanding what we see Yahuwah is doing, see, that gives us comfort because we got these guys, these crazy people like Bill Gates, and, of course, they over there trying to build them a new world order, you know, trying to get rid of so many people in this time, day and time, so that they can bring just a few enough people to fit their new world order, so to speak. You see?
Uh-huh.
And we know that none of these demons, field men, have been given the order, really, to just kill anybody they want to, the way they want to, you know? They don't have that authority, and we know that they don't. But, you know, they got this way of presenting themselves like, you know, with all of the people that they have deceived and that they are deceiving, that is going along with their crap, you see, and it's going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end. It's going to be so devastating to them until it ain't going to be nothing to laugh. It ain't going to be no joke. It's going to be just devastating, you see, because they got their whole hopes. They got the high hopes and everything built up like, oh, man, they got this. It's almost like they're bragging, saying, oh, man, we got this thing all by ourselves. Now, there is no, so to speak, you know how they call God or Lord. There's nobody like this
right.
That is in our way now. We can do whatever we please, you see? Because, and the reason I could see them thinking like that, because, you know, look what they're doing. They're killing people here every day. I mean, they got
the
coronavirus, the poison that they have come out with now, and they just killing people, and they dare you to even think you're going to come against this thing that they're doing. They're doing it the way they want to, you know. Although you go out and hurt somebody, you know, you go to jail right now. You know, they lock you on up. But these guys, Bill Gates and people like that, they could just come into your neighborhood and kill, and nobody gonna bother them. They free to just kill. They think what they think they are, you know. But they're not really free. They just thinking they are. That's how deceived they are, you know. So
that's right.
As long as we are aware of these things that are going on, you know, because, you know, this is why I came and we titled this program tonight Denial. You see, denial. See, because we see people out here right now amongst us walking around, they're walking in denial. You could tell they are, you know. Let me just read a couple of definitions of the word denial so we will understand what we're looking at here. So it tells us here in my definition here that I looked up. Let's say, for instance, a person that is in denial. It's like a refusal to recognize or acknowledge a disowning or disavowal. The traitors, okay? Denial of his country, okay? Another one says law, refusal to acknowledge the validity of a claim, suit, or the like, a plea that denies all allegations of fact in an adversarial plea, although she sues for libel, he enter a general denial, you see? So we see people, and the reason I say this, because where I am, where I work, you know, people come to my office, and I could tell they're in denial, you know, because got a guy came to my office this week, you know, and he's in denial, but, he, you know, it's like he's just, either he's deceived or he knows that he's, what he has done is wrong. I kind of feel that he knows that what he has done, less verses, and what I mean, what he has done, he done went out and took this coronavirus. You see, he done took that shot. And as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. I believe the way he speaks, like he's his second one, you see. But whatever happened is starting to affect him now, physically, negatively, physically, okay?
Yeah.
But on a negative, in a negative sense, he's starting to suffer from it, you know? And you try to tell him, look, you know, you just made a mistake. Something you should have, I mean, because some people you've been knowing a long time, and you would think that they are more aware of what's going on around them, you know? And wouldn't be as stupid or silly enough to go out and just voluntarily take this vaccine, this mark of the beast, you see? But no, mm-hmm. they would just voluntarily go on out, and although they don't even know you anymore before they take this virus, but once, all of a sudden, they start coming down with these sicknesses that this viral gives you, you know, this stuff that kills you that is in that virus to do that, to take you out, they're coming down with this illness, and now they want to find you. They want you to actually heal them now, you know, and so forth. But they still have not really, they don't want to acknowledge the fact that they have actually made a mistake, you know. Because if you go out and take that virus, and we studied this thing, we're looking at the scripture according to the Bible, okay? We're looking at something that is part of this mark of the beast that he talked about, okay? The one that he talked about, even in Revelation 13, verse 17, verse 16, and he causes all, both small and great, and rich and poor, and free and slave, to be given a mark upon their right hand or upon their foreheads. And we're gonna take a look at some of these low-down, dirty things that they are doing to. I mean, things that they're doing to those people over in Africa. You know, it's pure adulterous. It's crazy. It's unrighteous. It's madness. You see?
That's right.
And we see what they're doing. You see, and the Bible tells us, and that no one should be able to buy or sell except he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You see? Now I tell you what, you gotta be somebody that's purely in denial again. You must be in denial to go out and just automatically accept, just try. It's almost like I gotta show you I'm just as good as they are. Yeah. Yeah, they're like me too, cause I took their vaccine. You know, he gonna try to impress people, impress these hell-faced Gentiles out there. You know, by going out take, oh, I got the virus, I got it. You know, as soon as you get it, then once you start coming down with sickness, then you know then you really come. I believe that in reality, you start to understand and recognize the fact that you have messed up. Because, see, once you take this mark here that we see that is going on now, that has been put on, forced and put on people out there, we talking about something that is irreversible. Once you get it, that's it. You got it. You cannot get rid of it. You know, there is no medication out there that you can deliver yourself from the effect of this virus. And the reason why, it ain't because they got something out there messing with your DNA. It's actually internally changing, cutting out things that is designed that Yahuwah has created you with that will actually heal you from any outside influence on your body that is negatively. Your body could react and heal you, kill that virus off, and you overcome, come back to yourself. But now with this vaccine, you're not going to do that, because this vaccine is already designed to kill part of your immune system, the very portion of your immune system that is designed to keep you alive when you are being attacked by some invader into your system, you see? And that's what they did. They made sure they come up with something that will, first of all, attack that your immune system and surrender it incapable of protecting you anymore, ever again. You see, they will kill it, pull it, take it, put it down, you see? And see, when you got that kind of thing going on, you know, we know this is the money. This is hell that you just marched yourself into. Apparently, it's something that you should have given more thought before you made a mistake and went out there and let yourself take their coronavirus. I'd kill a person if you're gonna try to put that virus on me if I can before I think I'm gonna try to impress him. I think I'm gonna impress him. To, you know, show him, oh, okay, I got it, I did it for you. No. You know, it's time to protect you and protect your life, okay? Because and listen to what the word says about this garbage, this poison that they are putting up on the people. In fact, we can just get a hint. We can get a good hint right here in Revelation 14. Start with verse 8, you know. It tells us right here, and another messenger followed, saying, Babel is fallen. It's fallen. It's the same old system that you were just talking about when you first came on here. It's that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her whoring. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She's out there whoring, tricking people, getting them to drink that mess that she has just come up with and called it Corona. You know, there was no, we didn't even have no problem. Corona was not nothing out there to even bother anybody, not to affect you at all. But once they started pouring these vaccines that they created, they came up with, they had to hurry up and get that in line so that they, now they can definitely hurt you. They can affect you in a way where you will affect others if you come around in contact with them, you see? You automatically expect to cause other people to get sick as a dog just from being around you a few minutes there, you know? And so that's what you see going on here. This old Babylon got her little stuff going now. And, boy, she thinks she's on her way. She thinks she's on her way. It says here in verse 9, a third messenger followed them, saying, with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark upon his forehead or upon his hand, okay, thus he also shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Yahuwah, which is poured out undiluted, no mercy, into the cup of his wrath, and he shall be tortured with fire and sulfur before the set apart messengers and before the Lamb. You see, this is what you got to look forward to if you thinking you Mr. Big Stuff, or Mr. Proud Man, Mr. got to impress people, these Gentiles, you know, because after all, I've been their slave. You know, we've been their slaves for 400 years. We may as well do what we can to make sure that they like us now, huh? Oh, boy, you make that fool, make that mistake if you want to, okay? And the smoke of their torture goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Those worshiping the beast and his image, also if anyone receives the mark of his name, you see? So this is what I'm talking about, and we know Yah has given us the name of the person that owns this virus, this vaccine, you know, no other than Bill Gates and Fauci. They own it. They own the patent to it, you see, and they know what they're doing. They're just out there just killing people. Oh, it's sad. It's you know, you want to, but, you know, we have to allow the wrath, allow Yah to do his thing, to do it his way. Because if we can't step ahead of Yah, we have to continue to follow him, okay? Because believe it or not, if you've been obedient to him, following his commandments, his laws and statutes, you're going to be all right under this thing. You're going to be all right no matter what it looks like. You know, Satan will not be the victory over you in this matter. And you got to remember that at all times. Satan is the one that is going to lose. He's already lost. You know, it's just a matter of time that we will. Scripture tells us you will see the reward of the wicked. We'll see him
indeed.
The reward. Okay? And also those who follow him, you know, we will see them. You see? So this is what I'm saying. That's why, you know, this young man that come up in my office this week, and it's pitiful because he came into my office without me recognizing that he had did what he had done, went out and took this virus just recently as Saturday, you know? Yeah, second virus, second shot. So he was a dynamite. He was a hot dynamite when he came up into my place, you see? Anybody could get affected by him, you know? And so infected by him, you see? So it's just that, you know, hallelujah for the herbs and things that he gives us that helps us through some of these things because if we're not careful, we can get not knowing what the devil is doing to you, because he's doing it at all times, trying to get you. And so that's why we did. We just kind of definitely anointed ourselves with oil that God has blessed us to be able to get, and so forth. You know, you have bees oil and stuff like that, home garden and stuff. It's really good, very good. But, this stuff is very good. It will definitely help you, you know, because without that, you stuck. You just out there in purity. You're out there in polluted air that this person is brought up there into your space, in your presence, you see? And so that's what's madness about it. It almost make you want to, you know, do something to that individual. But, you know, we do
thank
God because he can protect us regardless. When Satan thinks he's doing something, trying to slip something on you, you know, we praise Yah because all power is in his hand. And he sees us, you know, no matter what is going on, his eyes is on his people, okay? They are his eyes are on his people. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So therefore, we trust him. We trust Yah. You know, even like me, I went out of town this weekend, and, you know, I just asked Yah to protect us while we're out there, you know. And I tell you what, the time that we were there out there, even over in Atlanta, you know what kind of traffic you got out there, you know. And, man, it was just so many times that it seems like these people just get out of control in their vehicles. Next thing you know, they just driving so fast they don't care. And all of a sudden, you are right in their presence, and they're about ready to knock you off the road if you're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And, you know, so I just prayed. I prayed each day that I got up, asked Yah to protect me, watch over us out here in this traffic, because, you know, this is not where I live, and so I may even make a mistake. So therefore, please watch over us, and that's what he did. He did. He gave us a safe there and protected us each time some incident you came up with these almost situations, these ones that almost could have taken you out, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so you could tell that Yah's hand was right there, stopped and protected us. He was there to protect us, to keep us from any hurt or harm, because we had already asked him to let him know that we trusted him, you see. And so that's it. That's what happened. But hallelujah, hallelujah. We just, you know,
keep
on him and keep make sure that we know we don't ever turn away from him, okay? What I want to do next, Elder, I got a clip I want to quickly play. It's only, about a couple of minutes or so? Yeah. And basically what it is, this one here, and as a matter of fact, I got this one from you. it's the one about these children over in Africa, you know, Africa.
Yeah.
And this is why, you know, it really gets us, and it really makes us, it heats us up sometimes to look at this kind of stuff, because you got those grown so-called men in Africa, okay, and they should be looking out for their people, you know, trying to make sure that they are protected. They have the power to do it. They can do it because they're supposed to be the one, you know, this is supposed to be their land, you know. Yeah, let these Gentiles invade them and come on over there and just crawl over there, all over their place.
Take over.
Now, but and you can't trust these people. You can't trust them, you know. And so we see what they are doing now. And so and see, because what they're doing now is they are invading the children's privacy, their life, you know? Just because they're children, they think they got the right to take the advantage of them and just poison them and kill them anytime they want to without the parents or anything. And they're just going to all of a sudden institute some laws. So you better do this or else. If you don't do this, this is what's going to happen and so forth, okay? And so these children, hallelujah, when I saw this, you know, when they marched these people over there into their neighborhood, well, to their school, okay, now the people, they bypassed two white schools, white people schools, okay? They just bypassed them and came straight on over to the Africans, okay, the blacks, and with their vaccine, all rolled all out, ready to jam them, stick them, and so forth, you know?
Right.
And so, but the children, they just started running. They just took off. They just say, forget it.
That's right.
And they had a Lord came up with this law, you got to be vaccinated before you come home and so forth. I don't think those kids went home. They just took off. They said,
that's
right. Get you, we go, you know, because they have seen these same old demons over there, Bill Gates and his people that is working with him. They saw just, I believe, a year or so ago, how he went over there and started vaccinating kids. And for these girls, I mean, they were just, not too long ago, a couple of months ago or so, these girls was miserable. I mean, sick as a dog. As a matter of fact, I think some of them, a couple of them, start dying, you know, when they start vaccinating, giving them that poison, that drug sorcery stuff that they got out there, you know. So these kids didn't forget that garbage that they done. So they saw that, you know, they saw these girls, how sick they were and so forth. They marched in there this weekend with their poison. You know, they bring out to try to get these kids again. No, they just took off. They started screaming. They jumped out of windows. Whatever they had to do to get away from these demonic
kids.
And then you get these crazy grown-ups, Africans, the one that you can buy off with a nickel, you know.
Right.
You can buy his drawers or buy his whole lamp, whatever he got going. You know, he's ready to give it up for a couple of dimes. You know, that's what he's ready to do. And they had to adapt it to still come out talking about, you know, the order, demand what the people should do, what these kids should do. But these kids, they ignored them. They just ignored them, taken out. They took all the money. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. Hallelujah. I hope y'all made a way for them. And to get away from those clowns. And I hope he grow these kids up real quick enough to be strong enough pretty quick to come back and cut these guys' heads off and everything else
that's
coming at them.
Hallelujah.
Trying to kill out their family. You see the bloodline.
Yeah.
They're going to do this for these dust-faced, dead-faced Gentiles. You see?
That's right.
You know, and that gets me almost, and it made me want to go over there and help if I could, you know, because this is just messed up. It's messed up. You're not supposed to have
these
people just so darn dumb, so stupid, that, you know, think you got to impress a devil, demon amongst you. Somebody that's trying to kill you, kill your family. You got to try to impress that thing? No. I've been cutting stuff before you can get near me. But that's just, you know,
how
it is. Because we know Yah has his place. Yah is doing his piece. He's in control. So we're going to leave it up to him. So because when time comes for us to fight, if we have to, you know, although he has told us many times, you know, the fight, the battle belongs to him, you know, and so forth. So, but just in case, if we have to fight one of these days, I'll tell you, We don't. I would not be afraid. I would just go and would not care whatever I had to do to these demons after all what they've done. Because, you know, the Bible says, it tells us in our law, if any man sheds man's blood, by man's blood, his blood must be shed, has to be shed, see? So,
yes.
You know, we can get out there. We have to get out there and fight and kill, cut heads off, cut clowns down, do their limbs and so forth. You know, we'll just have to do it. And don't worry about these stuff, suckers, because they ain't nothing but walking demons amongst us. And they need to be taken care of. They need to be put down. Okay? All right. So what I'm going to do, we're going to play a clip real quick, Elder. Yes, it's about a minute or so. Yeah, let me just play it real quick so we can kind of get an idea of what they are doing to the children over there in Africa as we speak. Okay, here we go. Some demon done told them we gotta kill 3 billion people, you know. But we're gonna start with those Africans first.
Start with
those
that.
Brown people, those black people. You see what I mean? That's what they want to start with. And I'm just gonna pray for our brothers and sisters. Pray for those Africans against those Lord. Gentiles. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, because we want to see. I want to see some of us strong people, black folks, you know, take some of them out, start picking them out. Because I know that Yah's timing is his timing, and he's going to do it in his own time. And it's going to be in time whenever this happens, you know, regardless of how it makes me feel, make me want to do things. I have to relax and just, you know, lay back and let Yah do his thing. Okay, so that is one. Yeah, so that was one of the clips that I wanted to share with our listening audience, and we have one more, and it's not that long, I don't think. Uganda draft law. I want to listen, kind of take a look at that, just to show you how dumb and how crazy this thing can be, you know, when these people over there think they should be men pleasers, white folks pleasers. That's where I look at it, you know, because they don't have to be, but they think they do because this white boy got a couple of dimes. He's got a chingle in his pocket, too. I'll make sure you get it. And he think he can make this old black boy move the world for him, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sad thing about it, you know. That's sad. But I believe if we live long enough, hang out long enough, we're either going to be part of some army of Yahuwah, or we're just, you know, going to have to let us watch what he does for us with his army, okay? So hallelujah.
Yeah.
So here we go. Let me see if I'm going to see if I can get this other clip going right now. Let's see what happens. Let's see here. Hallelujah.
Well, Uganda has drafted a law to jail parents who decline to immunize children below the age of 5. Many myths surround immunization in Uganda. Some parents claim it causes severe disabilities in children. CCTV's Hillary Isiga reports.
A door-to-door polio vaccination campaign has started in Uganda. All children below the age of 5 are getting the dose, but some parents are not interested.
I do not want to immunize my child because I have heard of cases where children were immunized with an expired drug and it caused disability.
Health officials are trying to encourage as many parents as possible to embrace vaccination.
It turned out to be a hearsay, and so I explained to them that this immunization has been going on for so long, and within their community they could not point to any specific location or child who got a complication out of immunization.
Just a drop of this vaccine can be enough to save a child from death. But not everyone in this community is embracing this life-saving drug. And these negative perceptions and myths about vaccination are what these officials here are fighting. Members of parliament are now pushing for a law to punish parents who refuse to immunize their children.
The gist of this law is to make it punishable for a parent or a caretaker or a guardian who willingly refuses to have the children under his or her care undergo this immunization.
Lawmakers believe if the bill is passed into law, it will help save many lives of children who die from preventable diseases. They are now urging neighboring countries like South Sudan and Democratic Republic of Congo to strengthen their capacity to fight the spread of immunizable diseases. Hilary Yesiga, CCTV, Kampala.
You see that?
Man,
see?
That is so weakest.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, something must have had to happen to these people. Satan must have had to come down and be with them or something to have them going against their own blood to put their poison in them, you know. That's the money, you know. And so, we just pray. We just have to pray that Yahuwah will continue to protect us from these demons, this mess that they're doing out there, and give us the strength to fight, you know. Give us the strength to be strong, to battle against this junk, because that's what they're doing. The whole world has gone crazy, gone foolish, following this kind of garbage. You know, seem like common sense will tell you, look what that stuff has done. Look what it's doing to people. Why should we want to participate with these scumbags that are out here doing this? You see, why would we want to participate with that kind of stuff? You see, and fight.
That's right.
We should be strong enough. We need to be willing to stand up against that. You see, stand up. So.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens because we know it's coming down the pipe. But at least I know that we don't have that much time now in this world. Yeah, I know now. We did our studies this past Sabbath, looking at the word of Yah, what it actually is saying to us. You know, oh, yes, we can just, hey, trust Yah. Trust Him because the timeline is being revealed to us now so that we see that Satan now, we know, you know, pretty much about how much time you got. Your time is very short, limited. So hallelujah. So Elder, I guess I'll let you come on up and, you know, let's share some more good stuff with us from Yahuwah, and we'll keep going. We'll just keep going, okay? All right. Come on up.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Elder. Those clips you played were heartbreaking. The first one with the little kids who didn't even have a say in the matter. These evil devils trying to vaccinate these children. And the entire population on the African continent, it's so low with this coronavirus thing. But the children are even lower. really no children contracting this thing, but they want to put that poison into their system. Nonetheless, they are hell-bent on putting this contraction, I'm going to back to our program about 3 weeks ago or so. It's called The Proliferation of the Hybrid, parts 1, 2, and I believe 3. You will see what their whole aim is for, to bring this Nephilim DNA, to make it rampant again upon the earth, just like it was back in the days of Noah. It was just that way in the days of Noah. That's why you will have to find an undefiled, an uncontaminated vessel in Noah and his wife and his family, because the earth was overrun with this defile, with this contaminated DNA, this Nephilim DNA. And so they're going crazy with this, and as many people as possible. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. We're not going to speak on it too much. Just go back and look at our archives and look for the title, Proliferation of the Hybrids, parts 1, 2, and parts 3. It will explain this. But that was so sad. Mm-hmm. And then Uganda, here they go, forcing the inoculations. You know, it's sad. It's sad. That's what makes it even sadder for one of the last strongholds in Africa to fall, President Magufuli. It's so sad because, like you said, Elder, they must be spellbound or something. That continent, with their wealth of natural resources, it seems have been cursed with the weakest leaders, sold out puppet leaders. It's a stench. I know it has to be a stench in the Most High's nostrils. They sell their people, they sell their land, their resources down the drain, and they could care less about sacrificing their people down the drain so they can so-called live like their oppressors. You know, they could have a big castle, mansion in Africa and then in these foreign lands where they could get the white women, and, you know. It's sad. But don't worry, family. You're always going to bring all this to a crashing halt. This is it. This is the time of the end, and this is the end of the Gentile age. They're not going to be able to sway people. They didn't sway Magufuli. Now, he stood up against these devils. He stood up, and his legacy should be honored. But you know what they're doing? This is how evil they are. This wicked press, what they call their, it's no such thing as a free press. The press is owned by these same high up families, this shadow government, these 13 families around the world who is pretty much running everything. Well, Satan is running everything through them. They're his people. They have that Nephilim DNA running heavily through their veins. And so they're the ones that's ordering all this wickedness, this coronavirus wickedness. So you know what they're going to do? Instead of honoring our dear brother, they have set out to mock him, to mock this great man's life, and trying to defame his character and legacy with an outright lie. Reporting in some of their filthy media outlets that their demonic media outlets that he died of COVID. This man opened his country. He said, "We're not falling for that mess. Our people believe in the Most High. We're going to pray." He encouraged them to live healthy, get your immune system up. There's abundance of vitamin D in Africa. It's full of sunshine. And he said, "Live healthy." You know, we're not going to buy into this stuff. And vaccine, he told them where to shove it at. They couldn't take that. They had to get rid of our brother. You know, had to get rid of our beautiful brother. You know, he wasn't going to have nothing to do with the annihilation, genocide of his people. And can't play as much. Can't play as much for these the rest of these leaders. So, and that brings up a point. And some of our people, you know, here in the West, United States, and I heard some in Europe, they were thinking about fleeing to Africa, you know, repatriating back to Africa. And it didn't seem like such a far-fetched idea. You know, it seemed like it made sense to some degree. But even then, when they were saying it and it looked promising, my thoughts was to still wait on the Most High, wait on his leading. See,
that's right.
Our Messiah says, when the Ruach HaKodesh comes, he will lead you. See, he will lead you into all truth. You know, it says, knowledge the Most High in all your ways, and he will direct your path. So you can't just start looking at the groundswell of public opinion and even if it's in the spiritual community, so to speak, you've got to be led by the Ruach HaKodesh. Don't be led by the majority, what you see people are doing and everything. Because now, and we got to pray for the diasporans who went back to Africa and the indigenous African people, because now a lot of the people who left and made that trek to Africa, and a lot of them went to Tanzania, too, because of this strong leader and his stance against corruption, against the power that be. But now, look, they got rid of our brother, and now I know you could imagine they're licking their chops. They just say, well, he thought he was going to stop us, and they got this some woman who's the vice president, whether she's going to stay in for the rest of his term, and then they vote on. You could bet they're going to put their puppet there, and if it's not for the power and the intervention of the Most High, they're going to try to have their way with the people of Tanzania, both the natives and the diasporans who returned there. But we got to pray against it. Mm-hmm. We got to pray against it. I have a scripture here. It says, I'm going to read this one here. Isaiah 59:19. See, we can't worry. It says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. Whatever went on, assassinations or whatever, and they think they could take out the strong man and bring in their puppet and just bulldoze the people, just have their way with them. They say, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of Yahuwah will lift up a standard against them, a barrier, a defense against them. He will lift up a powerful defense against his people. Look at the principle. Look at the precepts. Remember, he doesn't need a lot. he say, one shall chase 1,000, two shall put 10,000 to flight. And remember Gideon's army. It started off pretty small compared to the enemy's army. You know, it started in the thousands. That was still small compared to the enemy. And then it dwindled down to just a few, maybe a few hundred. But that's just the number you all wanted. You know, here they are going against a powerful army, thousands of mighty men, you know, in artillery and everything. He said, this is just what I wanted. So he told all the ones who were fearful and didn't want to, gave them opportunity to leave, and the majority of them left. They were so fearful. See, but the brave ones, the ones who believed in the Most High, I believe with all my heart, the ones that stayed believed in the Most High because they had heard. They had heard how their ancestors earlier had been delivered and had Yahuwah had delivered victory on top of victory into their hands against mightier nations. And this is just when they left ancient Egypt on their way to the Promised Land. They have to go through a dangerous path, and they had enemies in their way. But Yahuwah, as long as they looked to the Most High and honor him, Yahuwah gave them victory after victory through Moses' leadership and through Joshua later. So it was only a number of times when they lost a battle, and that was not a full, it wasn't annihilation, but it would just had them to wake up because sin had crept into the camp. And that's why you got to look. You got to analyze things when you say, "Wow, this big great country with continent with all these natural resources. What's happening? They should be ruling the world with their natural wealth. These other countries don't have the natural wealth that Africa has. But you got to look at the sin in the camp. You got to look at the contamination. And so Joshua exposed the sin in the camp after they had lost the battle. And sure enough, his family found guilty. This so-called soldier, he took the spoil that Yahuwah told him not to take, and Yahuwah told them to destroy everything, their family, their livestock, everything. He said, because we got to put away the folly from Israel. We got to put away the folly. We got to put away the sin. And so after that, they went right back to winning battles. See, that was just a lesson Yahuwah wanted to teach them. So he says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, like they're doing now, oh, they're happy. Magapuli is out. But it says, if the people, turn, it's nothing new under the sun. Our people have been to this point before. In Israel, it looks like they didn't have no hope, but what they did, they cried out to Yahuwah, and he said he heard their cry. So if our people cry out, and don't just cry out, put something behind it. Repent. Ask Yahuwah to forgive you of your sins. Repent. If we have any brothers and sisters on the continent of Africa, and particularly in the country of Tanzania, cry out to the Most High, because the plans that they have for your country are not good. They're evil.
That's right.
Cry out. It doesn't matter if it's just a few of you. Remember what he told to Abraham. Abraham, he started like, if there was 50 righteous, would you spare the land? Because Yahuwah was going to destroy the land. And Yahuwah said, 50, I'll spare it. But there wasn't 50. He said, what if there's only 40 righteous? He said, I'll spare if it's 40. But he couldn't find 40. He went all the way down to 30, 20. Say, what if there's just 10? You know, he couldn't even find 10. Look at that. You would say he would have spared the land. And you know he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot and his family went out. But not even all of Lot's family made it. His wife had a heart to look back. I guess she looked back and one of the things of the material things that Sodom and Gomorrah offered, she'd see her heart look back. And so when she turned back, she was destroyed. So he couldn't even get the whole family out of there, which was horrible. So Yahuwah, if you honor him, now this is my brothers and sisters, especially in Tanzania, honor him, acknowledge him, acknowledge that Yahuwah is the Most High. Turn to him with all your heart. Ask him for forgiveness of your sins and the sins of your people. He will lift up a standard. He will lift up a standard. He probably say, well, how could we compete against the powers that be? They have all the finances, all the military might, all the demonic strategy, Look at what they do with the leaders. They just buy the leaders. We don't have leadership now. Yahuwah said, is there anything? They say, well, man's impossible to save, but not with Yahuwah. They say, with Yahuwah, nothing shall be impossible. He said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and that's what it looks like he's doing, he said, the spirit of Yahuwah will lift up a standard. He'll lift up a strong defense on your behalf. Now, here, look what kind of leader gets another scripture. Give you some encouragement. It says, when the righteous... When the righteous are in authority, see this Magapuli brother, when he was an honorable man. When the righteous are in authority, and this is Proverbs 29 and 2. Proverbs 29 and 2. It says, when the righteous, he was an honorable person. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Why do you think so many of the diasporans, Tanzania is one of the choice places? Now, it probably was easier geographically and travel-wise to get to Ghana, which is on the West Coast, and a lot of people had thought about Ghana, mm-hmm. but then when they did their research and studied the stance that Magufuli took against the Western colonial powers, they said, no, I want strong men. I don't want somebody to be bought out. You know, everybody
That's
out
right.
there is falling for this vaccine campaign. I want a strong man. So a lot of them turned their sights and directed it towards Tanzania. That's because when the rices are in authority, you know, the people rejoice, it says. But listen here. It says, when the wicked beareth rule, when the wicked comes to power, say, when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And that's what they're doing now. Mm-hmm. They're mourning. And all over Africa and all over the world, they're mourning because a lot of people are saddened by what they see is on the horizon. For our brothers and sisters
mm-hmm.
there. But our brothers and sisters do not, yes, I know this is trying times.
Yeah.
You're still mourning the loss of your leader, but your
mm-hmm.
trust and your hope has to be in the Most High. As strong
That's
and
right.
honorable as this man was, the Most High has to be your ultimate help. To say our help comes from the Most High. So you
That's
have
right.
to call out to See, they might have taken this brother out, but they can't take out the Most High. He's still
That's right.
there. He's always been there. And he's always delivered mm-hmm. his people when they repent and turn to him with all their heart. So every household there, every congregation there, call to
mm-hmm.
the Most High with all your heart. Repent.
Yes.
Call on him. Cry out to him for help. He will lift up this mighty standard. It's
mm-hmm.
Yahuwah that fights our battles. So
That's right.
There's hope. There's hope. Yes, it's time to mourn. There's a time to, you know, there's time to be happy. There's a time to cry in the book of Ecclesiastes. But there's a time to put tears away and look to Yahuwah. Because ultimately
that's, right.
that's where your help comes from. A few more things, you know. So now they're going to look to bring in this coronavirus now. They're going to look, you know, this guy was against the economic shutdowns of his country. That's why his country is thriving economically. But
mm-hmm.
now they're going to look for the shutdowns and everything. They resisted the homosexual, the LGBT.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, where the P come from? Well, the P is coming. Right now they just got LGBTQ there, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, and queer. But pretty soon you might as well add P because that's what's coming. P is for pedophiles. Oh, yeah. Just look at the research, the group NAMLA. They're on the way. They're
mm-hmm.
on the way. So that's what Biden, you know, is okaying and everything. And that's what they try to push on African countries. And a lot of the leaders have already acquiesced. They've already, you know, opened their gates to the LGBT community because they want to be, like mm-hmm. you said, Elder, in good favor with their masters, you know. So they're going to open their gates for recognition and liberties of these kind of unions and marriages and everything. And, you know, it's that's why it says when the righteous and authority people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people are mourning. They see what's on the horizon. Cry out, our brothers and sisters in Africa. Also,
Hallelujah.
That clip you played, it's pray for the children also. Pray for the children in Africa and the people in general. You know, they do not have a strong leader who will stand up on their behalf anymore. They have a bunch of sold-out puppets who are willing to sell all of Africa's natural resources and sacrifice
mm-hmm.
the indigenous Africa people. That's what they have now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to change gears for a second to show you how evil and the scope evilness. Thomas Marvin Hagler died, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. There were reports, firsthand reports, that Hagler had taken the vaccine, Corona vaccine, and he got very sick very shortly thereafter. And he called his friend. Him and Hearns had patched things up outside the ring, and they were good buddies. They were, they were buddies. And so Hagler reached out to Hearns and told him what's going on, and he's very sick. And Hearns offered prayer, and Hearns immediately took to social media, I believe Twitter, and just put a plea out to the world, to the United States, to Hagler fans, please pray for his brother. He's taken the vaccine, and he's ill, and he's in the ICU in the hospital. Please pray for his recovery. Do you know, now this is reports, that Hagler was threatened. His life was, I mean, not Hagler, Hearns was threatened. He was threatened to the point that he had to retract. He had to take his post down. He had to take it down against his will. He took it down, and the very next day, Hagler passed away. He died. I pray that our brother had things right with Mozart, but he passed away. You know, they didn't even get a chance to use him to be a walking billboard like they're trying to do with these other black celebrities, make them a walking billboard to promote this vaccine. But this is how sad, this is how evil this system is. And very soon, this thing will be mandatory. I know there's a lot of people who hasn't taken it, they feel comfortable. They, you know, they might feel some pressure, peer pressure, persecution, because people in their job are starting to pressure them. But don't hold your breath. This thing will be mandatory. And we're going to be in the same position that our brethren in, on the continent of Africa are in. Our only hope is going to be in the Most High. You know, I don't care about those of you who are gun owners. I know some of the white people, you know, they really believe in their guns. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. What the Second Amendment gives them the right. But that's not going to be your salvation. And for our Israelite community, that's not going to be your salvation either. And I'm not saying you can't have firearms. I would advise you to get firearms, but know that that's not going to be your salvation. That's not going to be your deliverance. Your deliverance is going to be in the Most High. Our message last week was your protection will be in your walk. Isn't that right, Elder? Your protection will be in
that's
your
right.
walk. Okay. Just trying to get it right with them now. It's, you know, when you hear the truth, the Bible says, harden not your heart. It says, today is the day of salvation. It says, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So it's time to get it right with the Most High when you hear the tug of the Ruach HaKodesh, when you feel it in your heart, when you feel the conviction, when you could discern the conviction to get your life right. Because if you're one of those, you want to do a little more sin, I'm not ready to give up this girlfriend yet, I'm not ready to give up this lifestyle yet, you know, not ready to give up this hustle, whatever it is. You know when you're violating the Most High's moral code, his standards, his laws and commandments. You know it, but you want a little more sin. I got this lust thing. I got this substance abuse thing. I love to get high or whatever. I'm into this. I'm into pornography. I'm into this, you know. Not ready to give up, you know, your what they call your gender choice, the life of homosexuality, whatever it is. It says, lay aside every weight, especially that besetting sin, the thing that keeps taking you backward in your walk with the Lord God, making you not able to get it right, you know, come up to his standard. Whatever it is, you better get it right now, because you know what? There was a lot of people who, when Noah, after he had ministered and cried out for 120 years,
mm-hmm.
and when the rain finally came, they belittled him and called him a fool, but when that rain finally started coming, there was a lot of people wanted to get it right then. See, Moses, I mean, Noah was actually speaking on behalf of the Most High. So I'm sure a lot of these people was mocking.
Mm-hmm.
And when the rains came, they were pounding on the door. See, but Yahuwah himself shut the door. So you don't want to be in that same scenario, waiting to the last minute. Oh, my goodness, they're coming towards us now. Oh, they're going to force us to take the backs. No. Get it right with the Most High now. Mm-hmm. Your protection is in your walk. You want to see your insurance mm-hmm. policy? You have it. He wrote that. He wrote the terms of it in
mm-hmm.
his book. Turn to Psalms
mm-hmm.
91 and read it. Start at
mm-hmm.
verse 1 and read it on down. That's the insurance policy of the righteous. He's going to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, the only way,
right.
the only participation you're going to have in that is with your eyes. You're going to see the destruction of the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to protect sales out from the plagues, the virus, from the pestilence. You need his protection because there is no protection and no other than the Most High Yahuwah. Get it right with him. Seek Yahuwah while
That's
he
right.
can be found. Call on him while he is near. You know, this is no
mm-hmm.
joke. If you can't discern mm-hmm. the sign of the times now, then you do not have Yahuwah's spirit
mm-hmm.
in you. You can't. If you think things are not coming towards us swift in, but you're sitting here
mm-hmm.
instead waiting for things to, what you call, go back to normal, waiting for your football
mm-hmm.
games and basketball, waiting for you to open the nightclub again so you can hold chase. And I feel sorry for you. This
yep.
is the normal. It's going to get worse. It's never going to go back to your normal. That's the lie they tell people, the vaccine. Oh, they take this and you get back. There's a lot of people. They're so happy. They start clapping and jumping up and down as they take it. Oh, yeah, now we can get. I'm ready to get back to normal now. Your normal costs you your very life. You know, what did he
mm-hmm.
tell the person, the rich man who had his barns filled with plenty? And he said he don't even know what to do with all the stuff he got coming in. He said, I know what I'll do. Instead of helping the poor and the needy, he had a surplus. He said, no, he didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, I'm going to build bigger barns and make more money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to look at myself and say, self, oh, you have done a good job. Take it easy
mm-hmm.
now. Eat, drink, and be merry. But the
mm-hmm.
spirit of Yahuwah came to him that night and said, thou fool. Don't you discern that this very night your life should be required of you? And it's saying, and then who shall those things go to that you
That's
have
right.
put up? Who shall those things go to then? All your barns filled with plenty, your bank accounts, your investment, all your resources that you work for all your life. Whose hands shall they go into now? Thou fool. And he did it, the way scripture found, he didn't even have enough time to get it right. You think you're going to get it right at the last minute? No. Bible says now is the time of salvation. When you hear his, today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. No, just
That's
like
right.
this man, that rich man didn't even have time to get it. You think that that's the deception of the enemy. He deceives the whole world. He's good at it, what he does. He's going to have you thinking you could change at the last minute. I just finished with this man's wife. All hell's breaking loose. Let me repent. It don't work like that.
That's right.
Yahuwah has all kinds of examples weaving into scripture that show it doesn't work like that. For the people who are banging on that ark, it didn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to get in. They wanted to live. They wanted to go on in life. And the only salvation was going to be inside that ark. But they blew their chance because they didn't take heed to that principle that says today when you hear his voice, his voice was speaking through Noah. Today when you hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to turn around. They could sin up to the last minute, and then if all hell breaks loose, they could turn to you. It's not going to happen that way. It's not going to happen that way. One more thing, Elder, if you don't mind, is they were talking about the persecution, the Asians. Let's talk about, see, so we got to be colorblind in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense, I know the damage that the Caucasian, the white race have done to our people. But it's good to be as colorblind as you can. Because look at some of the things that happened. This man that everybody was up, you know, just giving rave reviews, you know, maybe in the last, you know, 8 years ago. Not even that long ago. Go back 5 years ago. Mr. Obama with the Jewish mother. So everybody was saying, oh, it's so wonderful, our first black president and everything. You know, they showed pictures when he won the election. People were in the park, this park in Chicago, well, all over the country, just crying. I think Jesse Jackson was crying, just crying. Crying for what? What did you expect from this man? What did you think? Did you think he was going to be Moses? Did you think he was going to be the deliverer of our people? Quite the opposite. Quite to the contrary. So the people, now here's the parallel. I want to compare these two. Persecution of the Asians, people are talking about now, right? They're talking about the Asians. It was this crazy white guy that went crazy in Atlanta. I guess he was at a whorehouse. I mean, well, he was at, they say, a spa, a massage place. Now I didn't, what massage places are still doing open? Aren't those just, you know, horror houses? But, okay, he's at this massage place. So, now, before I finish this, remember, the lie went out in the media. See, the media is witchcraft. They try to put a lie out there, and they figure they say it enough times, the people will believe it. And many times that's true. So they start saying black, and they look for the lowest element of society. Doesn't mean morally. I mean financially, economically, and things like that. They look for the lowest element of our society. Okay, we're at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So they said black people are starting to harass and, torment Asians. Now, I don't know about you, but the times I looked online, encounters with black and Asians, I'm seeing Asian owners, business owners, hair salon owners, hair beauty supply store owners choking black people out. Not men, but black women. I mean, choking to the point almost of death. You know, as big as you see Asians. I mean, you're seeing that all over online. But now they try to flip the script and say blacks are tormenting, you know, harassing Asia. And they try to really put this out like that's going around. Like, we have this thing against Asia. Black people are trying to make it. They're trying to survive. They don't have enough time to pick a race and try to go after them. They're trying to, live another day. So, we have time to go after Asia. That was a lie right from the pit of hell. So that's what I love about the Most High. He said there's nothing done in secret that won't be brought to light. So you always got tired of this. So he brought this to light. He exposed these devils in the media. It wasn't black. It was white people that if there is any harassment that had been harassing the Asians. So this is just one of the climaxes here in Atlanta at this Atlanta massage parlor. So you had this white guy. I guess he went on a rampage and just started shooting people. He shot, what, eight people? And most of them were Asian. I think at least six were Asian. And I don't know what the other two were, but so he killed six Asian people. And it looked like it was an Asian business, if I'm reading it right. And so they couldn't cover that up. So Yahuwah exposed that. Any Asians listening to us right now? Black people are not your oppressors. We're nobody's oppressors. You need to look. You need to look the right way. But you need to look at your enemy. But it ain't us.
That's right.
If you want to fall for that lie, that's your problem. Stop looking at the news media.
That's
brainwashing. Right. That was a horrible thing that happened. But here's what Biden did. So they're looking at that now. They're trying to look at that as a hate crime. Now look at all the history the blacks went through. You know, throwing our babies to alligator bait. You know, raping our women, raping our men, raping the boys, raping the girls. You know, we're gonna tell it all. You know, they love to just combine it to oh, they raped our women and you know, raped all four sections, men, women, boy, girl. You know, in addition to the animals, David. So we went through persecution, selling at the auction like we just, you know, piece of merchandise, all the way up to slavery, the rapes, the Jim Crow, the black codes, and, you know, segregation laws and everything, you know, even past the civil rights thing. That never ask any black person with an honest conscience, do you think they're equal, they get equal treatment in this country as whites get. So that civil rights era that we went through didn't change things much. Might have made people feel good for a moment, but it didn't change the ultimate outcomes of people. We were at the bottom then, we're at the bottom now. Okay, so where was the hate crimes for us? If any group should have a designation when we're persecuted for hate, it should be Israelite people. It should be black people, the so-called black people.
That's right.
Do you see that? Do you see that? Do you see people pushing for that? So they're pushing for this as a hate crime. Now, you already never heard of Asians being persecuted. But all of a sudden they come up, they, you know, everybody's saying that, oh, we got to have a hate crime. So a hate crime for Asians, and Biden, this old guy in the White House, he's going to fly the flags, order the flags, the government flags to be flown at half mast. Okay, like I say, this was a horrible crime. Any time you take innocent life, horrible crime. Fly it at half mast. When did blacks, okay, let me go back to the beloved leader just a few years ago, Obama, supposedly the first black president. Did he, was he pushing for hate crimes for black people? All those police shootings of unarmed, innocent black men and black women and children. Look at Trayvon Martin and look at Tamar Rice, 12-year-old boy, probably not even out of elementary school. You know, just cops rolled up, they say, less than 2 seconds, 1.5 seconds, rolled up on this young boy and just blasted with his high-powered rifles. So no hate crimes, no hate crimes being pushed for black people. And Obama did not order the flags to be at half-mast when there was even a bigger massacre done in Charleston, South Carolina, 2015, where this racist white guy walked into the church. They welcomed him and opened doors for a Bible study, and this guy just commenced to slaying them, just slaughtering them. young and old alike, male and female alike. Look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy say they will have no regard for the young or the old. So how can he kill an old grandmother? It's demonic. They're devils. It says they shall have no regard. It means that they're not going to have sympathy for the elder who probably don't have much longer to go anyway. What can an elderly do to you? No regard. It could have been your own grandmother, gray hair and all, you know, on medication or whatever. You're going to slaughter her just like you slaughter her. Man had no regard. And what did you hear about that? Nine people, more than this so-called massacre just went on in Atlanta, slaughtered them in the so-called house of worship. Where was all the push that we need hate crime bills? We need hate crime bills. Where was the order of Obama saying we need to fly all of the government flags at half mast? Who just was in love with this man. Oh, but he did do the half mast thing when finally one black person fought back against these cop shootings. Now, I'm not saying that was the right thing to do, no, but he this guy, I guess he was ex-military guy, I guess he just had it, and it was in Dallas. He went on a tear, and I think he shot five policemen. Obama was down there right away. Everything was half-mast. Probably didn't even put the flag up at all. I mean, he was on top of it. He was on top of it and called it and said, we got to do something about these thugs. He called the black people, and a lot of times the black victims killing black, a lot of these were unarmed men and women, unarmed black men and women. And like I said, children, you know, but he called them thugs, referred to them as thugs. You know, Hillary Clinton referred to them as super predators. No half mask. No hate crime bill, and no sympathy. You know, where was the love for? If he's the first black president. Where's the love for so-called his own people? You know, so I just want our people to reflect, because we're gullible people, and Yahuwah doesn't put it that nice. He refers to us. It's a word. It's a word he uses in scripture. It's a derogatory word. It's a belittling word. It's called sodis.
Yeah.
Sodis in scripture. And I'm going to pull it up. It's in scripture. It there's a meaning to it. He said his people are sodis. It says, I'm going to read it. Jeremiah, it's one place is found in Jeremiah 4 and 22. It says, for my people, and you come by the Israelite people, so-called black people, for my people, they have not known me. They are sodish, sodish, S-O-T-T-I-S-H. They are sodish children. They have none understanding. They don't have no understanding. They don't have common sense. They are wise to do evil. It's smarter than doing evil, but to do good, but to do good, they have no knowledge because they don't turn to you. That's where you find the knowledge to do walk in righteousness. But he called them sodish.
Yep.
What is sodish? You're not going to like it. Sodish is stupid. Stupid, simple, and childlike. Those three words. Stupid, simple, like a simpleton, and like an imbecile. Stupid, simple, and childlike. Like, you know, very immature, just act like a child. Can't control emotions and everything. But we put this man in office with a smile, crying, carrying on. And they didn't fly the flags at half mast when our people were massacred. They didn't push for a crime bill when our people were massacred. when, but they did when the police, when one person decided to fight back. Oh, they had to protect. He put up a bill for protection, more protection for the men in blue. You know, I don't have no problem with good policemen. I've met some good policemen. I know people think that there is none, but there are some. Now, are they in the majority? I wouldn't necessarily say that. I mean, the bad ones definitely stand out, and the bad ones have got away with a lot more that we don't even see. I mean, because you might see a number of these cases each year, but just think of all the cases you don't see.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So
that's
the thing, you know. Our good old Obama. I want to read one other scripture, Elder. This is what they, how low some of them think of us, a black life. Like I said, he took the life of grandmothers. It says, this is Zechariah 11:5. It says, whose possessors slayed him? You know, our oppressors slayed us. They slay them and hold themselves not guilty. When the last time you seen policeman who was wrong and killed an innocent black person, man, woman, boy, girl, and their system, their own system, their white supremacist system, court system, justice system, they should call it the injustice system, held them not guilty, acquitted them. They slay us, it says in verse 5, Zechariah 11:5, they slay us, possessors, our oppressors slay us, and hold themselves not guilty. Wow. That says it. That says it in a nutshell.
That's it.
But I'm going to go back to my theme, and before I turn it back to you, Elder, Israel, it's time to cry out, brothers and sisters on the African continent, brothers and sisters in Tanzania, it's time to cry out. Today is the day of salvation. It says today, when you hear His voice, harden not the heart. Don't wait for the new regime to come to power. You know, don't wait for the coronation of the new prime minister, king, or president. Don't wait for the inauguration. Cry out now, because they have plans for you, and their plans are not good. But Yahuwah says His plans for you are peace. Cry out to Him. Don't be like the people in Noah's day. Cried out too late. Don't be like that rich man who was bragging about his riches and say, I'm not going to get poor. I'm just going to tear these barns down and build new, bigger ones so I can store my goods. He said, let's eat, drink, and be merry. He didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait till the last minute. Cry out. It doesn't matter about how they rushed in like a flood. To say Yahuwah will lift up a standard of defense. He will lift up a strong defense, a barrier around you. The same barrier that HaShaitan complained about, said Job had that barrier. He said, you're protecting Job. What can I do? He's not that righteous. You got a barrier around him. But Yahuwah wants to put that same barrier of protection around you. But he's not going to do it for unrighteous people. It's time to get it right with Him. And it's easy to get it right.
Hallelujah.
I'll give you this last scripture. I won't turn to it. I'll try to quote it out of my heart. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people, this is how you get it right. It's as simple as this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and pray. You got to pray and seek my face. You got to be earnest about this. Not just another, I'll repent, but then I'll go back and do it. No. You got to be humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And here's the most important thing. And turn from your wicked ways. You've got to repent. It's not going to be salvation without repentance. You got to turn from your wicked ways. If you were walking north, you got to turn around and go south. If it's walking east, you got to turn around and go west. You got to make a 4 180. you know.
All right.
Turn from your wicked ways. He said, if you do that, then I'll hear your prayers from heaven, from my throne in heaven. And he says, I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. He's going to protect your land. He's going to forgive your sin. Call out, cry out to him, our brothers and sisters on the African continent. And with that,
all right,
I'll turn it back over to Elder. Come on up, Elder.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's all right, Elder. You know, that's what we got to do is cry out to him. Because I'm telling you, we know Satan is out there. And, hey, our only help is Yahuwah, because we don't have nobody that's going to just all of a sudden defend the children of Israel. We're the most hated people on earth, you know.
That's
right. They just hate us anyhow, you know. And so we just got to remember that and be aware of these things and don't forget it, okay? Because the devil is out to get us. We know why. Because we carry the name Yahuwah. We are called by his name, you see? So there it is. Okay. So, and that's what we want to do. We'll look at a couple more scriptures because I know we're pretty much almost out of time here. But let me see if I can get to it right quick. Let me get here. 680. Okay. Psalms 83. Yeah, we can look at that real quick because this is what he said. This is written, O Yahuwah, do not remain silent. Do not be speechless. Okay? And do not be still, O Yah, for look, your enemies make an uproar. You see, we see that. We know that. And those hating you have lifted up their head. Okay? Can you imagine that? And get out there, lift up your head. Yet you hate Yahweh. Okay? You got to be pretty bold to do that. They craftily plot against your people. See?
That's right.
And conspire against your treasured ones. Yeah. Children of Israel, out of his treasured ones, they have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation and let the name of Israel be remembered no more. You see, it all gets down to they hate the name of Yahuwah. You see? I mean,
yeah.
I know that because I could just tell, even like sometimes when I do a program on my show, you know, that I do on Sunday morning sometimes, and I challenge them sometimes about the name. You know, let's get that name right. We got to get that right because it tells us, you know, even in Ezekiel, don't pervert my name, you know. Get it right, you know.
That's right.
These people, no matter how much you tell them that, they ignore you. It's like they don't even hear you. Whatever you said, you know, it's like you didn't say it. So what can you say? So you have to continue on and keep teaching those that are listening, okay? So, because this is something is written already, even in Ezekiel. Let me look at Ezekiel 39. It says here, as for you, O house of Israel, thus said the Master Yahuwah, go, serve each of you his idols. And afterwards, if you are not listening to me, but he says, but do not profane my name. Okay? Do not profane my set-apart name anymore with your gifts and idols, your idols, you see? So this is what I'm saying. God's name is important to him. And he specifically tells us to do not profane his set-apart name anymore. See? When he says don't do it anymore, that means you've just been doing it. You see? He says stop it. All right? So that's what we got to consider. You know, and let us and turn to Yahuwah, okay? So that we don't be acting out here just taking for granted, taking things for granted, you know, thinking that we're going to make it anyhow. Because that's what it seemed like when I'm listening to those preachers, those pastors on Sunday morning sometimes. It's like, you know, we don't care nothing about what the Bible says. it, what it says about his name or what it says about anything else. The only thing we care about is what we are saying. We are talking God, the God of Israel. That's the one we calling on, and that's the one, you know. It's like the guy won't get up off of that and try to get Yahuwah's name right like it should be. He won't do that. It's like it's to him, it's a sin for him to even try to call on the name of Yahuwah like you're supposed to.
Right.
You know, hallelujah. So, you know, we got to think about these things. These are the things that will wind up in the last day when we get there and come up on Judgment Day, and we will hear that voice that says, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, now if that happened mm-hmm. to you, it's too late now. I mean, you can't change that no matter how you scream and cry and holler. It's just absolutely too late then. You see, even here over in the book of Luke 10, verse 18, it says, and he said to them, I saw Satan falling out of the heaven as lightning. Now, can you imagine that? The one, that you following, the one that you putting all your trust in now, you thinking you going to heaven anyway. You're going to be a king in his new world order, Satan. Yahuwah telling you, I saw him falling out of the heaven as lightning. You see? And falling. Kick his out. See, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And none at all shall hurt you. You see? So can you imagine? Did you know you had that power, Israel, to trample on serpents and scorpions? We're talking about Satan, really. He's a representative of the devil. You see? But do not rejoice in this. Said that the spirits and subjects are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names have been written in heaven. Heaven, see, that's what you got to rejoice. Now, when I think about that, I get a very good, pleasant thought in my head that my name is written in heaven, you know? That's what we rejoice over. You don't have to be known as somebody just full of pride or anything like that. You rejoice in what he tells you to do, how to do it, too. You okay? Because in that hour, Yahuwah exalted in the spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Master of heaven and of the earth, that you have hidden these matters from clever and learned ones and did reveal them to babes. You see?
Yeah.
Reveal them to babes. Father, because thus it was well-pleasing to your sight. You see? So that's what I'm saying. Babies, young kids will be in the kingdom rejoicing. And if you're not careful, you'll be cashed out. You didn't make it. Told to be departed from me, you worker of iniquity.
Right.
So that's what we got to consider this right now, while we got time to repent and turn from our wicked ways and seek Yahuwah, okay? Pray to him now, while the time is still available for us. Okay?
Oh,
in verse 22, it says, all has been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and he whom the Son wishes to reveal him. You see? And turning to his top ones, he said, separately, blessed are the ones that see what you see. You see that? Blessed are those.
Mm-hmm.
For I say to you that many prophets and four sovereigns have wished to see what you see and have not seen it, and to what you hear and have not heard it. I tell you, man, that's something. And see a certain one learned in the Torah, stood up, trying him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit everlasting life? What shall I do? Okay. I'm going to straighten you out real quick. And he said to him, what has been written in the Torah? There it is, in the law, in his law. What has been written?
Yes.
How do you read it? How do you read it? And he answering said, you shall love your father, your mighty one, your Allah, with all your heart and with all your being and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as him as yourself. Hallelujah. You
mm-hmm.
see? So there it is. It's summed up right there. Summed up. That's what we got to remember these things here. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you shall live. But he wishing to declare himself righteous, said to Yahuwah, and who is my neighbor? Listen at that. Somebody that's a little bit too arrogant. He better watch himself. Be careful because he's just about to get on some dangerous grounds here. And replying, Yahuwah said, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem, okay, to Jericho, and fell among robbers, who both stripping and beating him, went away, leaving him half dead. See what happened to this guy? And by a coincidence, a certain priest was going down that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Now, he's a priest. Goes to the other side. I don't want to even get close to this guy. You know, it ain't my problem.
He
wanted to
preach it.
Yeah. You see? Man, hallelujah. And then it says, likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and sin, passed by on the other side. You see that? Nobody wants to be bothered. Don't want to be even touched. I guess they're scared they'd be contaminated if they get too close to this poor man that has been beat up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But a certain Samaritan, journeying to him, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. See, this is what we have to do, have this compassion for our brothers, our neighbors. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and having placed him on his own beast, check it out, he brought him
yeah.
to an inn and looked after him. See, that's what he talked about. That's what he said.
Yeah.
You know, you should love Yahuwah with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You see?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. See, some of these guys missed the point. When they saw this man beat up, they just thought, oh, we have to go. I can't be bothered with them. But then in verse 35, it says, and going out on the next day, he looked out to the area, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, look after him, and whatever more you spend, I shall repay you when I return. Then Yahushua asked him, who then of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the robbers? Which one was the neighbor to him? And he said, he who showed compassion on him. Then Yahushua said to him, go and do likewise. See, these are lessons for us right now. We just got to remember that. Don't ever get your head so big and swole up that you're too good, you know, for certain things that you might see going on in your situation in your life, okay? And he came,
mm-hmm.
and it came to be as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And he said, had a sister called Miriam, who also sat at the feet of Yahushua and heard his word, okay? But, okay, I got a couple more verses. I'm going to read that and then close out since it's so close. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and coming up, she said, Master, are you not concerned that my sister has left me to serve alone? Speak to her then to help me. And Yahushua answering said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many matters, but one only is necessary. And Miriam has chosen the good portion which shall not be taken away from her. Hallelujah. See, mm-hmm. So we got to discern, discern about what's going on in our lives, okay, out here. And so there, that's why, you know, we can't get the big head all of a sudden, you know, and we so high and mighty that we don't want to be blocked. And so many people, this is the story that has, you know, if you look around enough, you will see a situation just like that, especially when we were out in those churches, you see. We know it. We've seen it. You know, old preacher come in there and put his big three greasy lips in at the table, and hey, you know,
that's right.
He ain't got much to say to you to help you at all. But you know, what can I say? Hallelujah! I filled out for that understanding that he's given us. Okay. So I just want to touch base on that. Okay. So if what we're gonna do, we're gonna go ahead and close on out and welcome all of our friends that has been with us, and we pray that you will be with us on next Tuesday, and we're going to be back again to continue on trying to teach this truth, because we got to get this thing out amongst our people, especially about the coronavirus, okay, this mark of the beast, okay, because we got too many people that are falling in here and getting tricked by Satan. And like
that's
I said,
right.
That the man that I saw just yesterday or this week that came into my office, it's almost like, you know, this guy weren't tricked or anything. It's almost like he knew what he was doing, but now it's too late. He reconsidering things like it, because this thing is starting to hurt him now. He's getting sick, you know. And so he needs somebody to have compassion on him now and help him, help heal him, get him back to feeling like he normally feels. But, you know, in this situation here with this coronavirus, it's the mark of the beast. We hear what the word is saying. Read verse, read Revelation chapter 14, okay? Be sure you do that. And that way you get an understanding that this thing is irreversible, okay? Once you decide to get the jab, you got it. You can't give it back to the man that gave it to you. You're stuck with that, you know. And so whatever consequences come with it, you just stuck with it, you know, and it's there. So pray and don't let yourself be that naive to get tricked into falling in, being brought down, you know, with this situation that we're in now, because these are real times that we are going through right now. Don't be in denial.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying to say to you. And because we see, all you got to do is read Revelation 16 and verse 1. Start there. Keep going. You see what's going to happen to these men that are receiving the mark of the beast. Okay? Once Yahuwah, those angels, pour out their vial. Okay? See, they're going to be exposed. And I don't think it's a vaccination nowhere in the world that will be able to heal them from what's going to happen to them, these sores and things that are going to come upon them. You see? They're stuck. They're going to die. They're stuck. So let's remember this. Keep these things in mind. And by all means, every means that you can muster up, reject this stuff. You know, because Scripture tells us, resist the devil. And, you know, you do that, he'll have to go. So that's what we want to do, is resist him by all means, no matter what's going on. What is he trying to raise his wrap up and all of that stuff? Ain't nothing but a bunch of air that can be blown away. So hallelujah. So with that being said, we're going to get ready to close out. Elder, unless you got some more words you want to add, we're about ready to close it on out. Let's see. Okay, next Tuesday, all right? Hallelujah. All right. So with that being said, let me see if I can't muster up a beautiful song that we want to close out with today, okay? And I think this is a great one here, Wade in the Water. Let's deal with that because we got a lot of things going.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
All right.
Shalom. That was beautiful. Beautiful. Right. Shalom, Israel, worldwide. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Hallelujah.